Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I'm Dave Cohen. Now back to Tommy Tucker on WWL.
Dave, remember way back when, back at 6 a.m. when you and I were here together? Remember that?
I have some vague recollection of
that.
And
we started our poll, a survey question, and we said, who would you like to have at your Thanksgiving table? Anybody, living or dead, whoever it is, anybody in history, any entertainer, anybody, who would you like to have at your Thanksgiving table?
Well, I do remember that. Yes.
You remember that? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've been tabulating the results. Top five answers are on the board. Here with number five from Master Control is Chris Coleman.
Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney. That'd be very interesting.
Beatle. Yeah, sure.
Very interesting. Here with number four from Traffic, Joe Cardosi.
Ooh.
Mm. Yeah, I'd get
that was a tie.
Leonardo da Vinci or DiCaprio?
No, there was a tie that Margot Robbie would tie with the master Leonardo da Vinci, don't you think?
Huh.
Very, okay. Very interesting.
I'd get in trouble if she came to my Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, that's why Steve Geller was saying that he wanted
Sydney Sweeney.
Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah, no.
I say
no,
you better
no.
check with Ms. Geller before you do that, or else you might be spending next Thanksgiving with Sydney Sweeney or alone.
Alone.
All right, here we go. Number three, person you'd like to spend Thanksgiving dinner with, our news director, Dave Cohen.
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. That's very interesting. You would think a lot of people would have voted for him, and they did.
You get to do the YMCA, apparently.
Yeah, with Donald Trump?
Yeah, remember he was doing the YMCA in the White House?
Yeah. I think he'd be an interesting guy. I don't know. You know, you might not agree with everything he has to say, but I think he'd be interesting. Number two, and this I found interesting, Jesus and the 12 apostles.
Really? All of them?
You're going to need to put the leaf in the table, but
yes,
I think it would be fascinating.
Who sits at the kids' table?
To have, well, whoever Jesus says sits at the kids' table sits at the kids' table.
You save a lot of money with that choice because all you need is five loaves of bread and two
fish.
Well,
now I don't know about all that, Coleman, but thanks for jumping in on that. And the number one answer of who you would like to have spend Thanksgiving dinner with you.
Family members that have already passed on.
And I think we already have talked about that, how we miss our family members. So there you go. Thanks to everybody that took part in that survey. We'll have another one for you tomorrow. Maybe. We'll see. Troy Duhon joins us now, our friend, my boy Troy Duhon, founder of Giving Hope NOLA. How you doing, Troy?
Hey, Tommy. How you doing?
I'm all right. So if you could have anybody to spend Thanksgiving dinner at your table, who would it be?
That's a good question. It would probably be Jesus. I just got a lot of questions.
Yeah.
I got a lot of questions.
Yeah. Boy, don't we all. Tell me about Giving Hope NOLA and the work you guys are doing this Thanksgiving season, all throughout
you
the
know,
year,
cool.
really.
You know, what's cool today, Tommy, is you got Cam Jordan, some other Saints coming out today for the annual turkey giveaway. We probably got about 500 to 600 people out there already, and a lot of volunteers, a lot of people here to help. And so every Thanksgiving, obviously, we're going to have a turkey drive. Every Christmas, we do toy drives. We do a lot of great things. But most of all, Tommy, what we do is we're feeding people every day. So right now, we're currently up to a couple thousand people a day.
Mm.
So needless to say, the need isn't getting any less. It's getting a little bit more. More and more people are struggling to make ends meet. So I'm glad that we at Giving Hope have the ability to bless people.
Tell me what happens with this turkey giveaway. Where is it?
So it's out here at I-10, 13040 I-10 Service Road, Giving Hope headquarters. Cameron Jordan does this every year with us, and it's really cool. So you have some Saints out here, have some TV people out here, and they give away a complete meal, really nice stuff. And it's really, he's been doing this for years, and he comes out of his own pocket. So when you think of Saints players, Tommy, who give back, Cameron Jordan is huge. What he does is massive.
Yep. A lot of them do a lot of good work, and Cam is right there at the top. Tell me about the work of for people who don't understand how you feed people, Troy, with Giving Hope. Take us through the inception of the organization, if you will, how
sure.
it started and how you got from where you were then to where you are now.
Well, think of Katrina, Tommy. When we saw Katrina, we saw a lot of people making, just struggling, and then we just started volunteering, and we kind of fell in love with it. And understand a city like New Orleans has a lot of people that need to help making ends meet. So when we first started, we didn't think the need was going to be that great. And it was much greater than we thought. Currently, like on any given day, we feed close to 10,000 people a day now. So it's a big number. And Tommy, you and I pay taxes. Other people pay taxes. And USDA takes a percentage of that taxes. It then gets funneled to Feed America. Feed America then partners with people like Second Harvesters. And then you have distribution centers like Giving Hope, where people either in the private section or other nonprofits, they decide to become distributors. That's what we are. But we do something a little bit different, Tommy, and this is where the people should know. We actually go to local grocery stores, Walmart, Winn-Dixie, Rouse's, and we pick a lot of stamped out food. So when you see something in the aisle and it doesn't sell and you can't put it back in the freezer, what do they do with it? We come and pick it up. And it's pretty much in someone's kitchen within 24 hours. So that's one of the cool things we do. So a lot of stuff we give away is coming from local supermarkets, and it's really a blessing to do that, because if not, what are they going to do with it, Tommy?
Right. Who prepared? Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, who prepares all of these meals every day?
So we have a staff here that cooks. So we cook about 1,100 hot meals a day. So we feed a lot of seniors. We feed during the summer after school program for kids. So we do a lot of cooking, and it's just, it's amazing to watch, but we're cooking about 1,100 hot meals a day now.
People get involved at this time of year, and that's good that they do, but the need goes on year-round. I want you to emphasize that.
It does. So, you know, during the holidays, people begin to think about how they can give back, whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas. And don't get me wrong, we love volunteers. And like I tell you every time, if your child or son or daughter has an attitude problem, bring them to Giving Hope. When Miss Betty gets done with them, she'll straighten it out, I promise you, because what Betty shows these kids, there's a real issue here. It's poverty, and people need to understand it's in your backyard. You don't have to go overseas to see poverty. There are people who struggle to make ends meet right here in New Orleans. So when a child, a young teenager, or a young adult comes in, they get to see it with their own eyes, Tommy, and that's when the transformation occurs. And then you begin to really get a heart for serving. So during the holidays, if people say, Troy, what can I do? Well, yeah, you can serve and take your children, come here and let them see the real world. That, you know, not everybody, like I tell my son, not everybody has a demo, a day off, and a debit card. It doesn't work mm-hmm. that way. So volunteering is where I would start first. Second of all, you can go to any premier dealership, Tommy, and drop off canned goods, because we're going to get as much as we need. We need as much as we can. Mm-hmm. So you can drop it off any premier dealership. We'll make sure it gets recycled in 24 hours. And then, of course, people have the ability to go online and give, but quite honestly, I would tell you this. If you were going to write a check or serve, I would rather see you serve, because I want people to really feel the joy, Tommy, of serving, especially during the holidays.
You've taken what you've applied to the car business and establishing dealerships all over the country, and y'all, Troy can live wherever he wants, and he chooses to stay right here in the New Orleans area, but have you explained how you took that acumen, if you will, and applied it to fundraising? Because now you got Giving Hope locations all over the country, don't you?
Yeah. We're in Hawaii, we're in California, we're in Kansas City. So what we try to do is people who do business with me, people who make money on Premier, people who sell me parts, people who sell me windshields, they're looking for something to give into. So the beautiful thing is, they want to partner with us because of Giving Hope, and then they get to see the fruit of what we do. So the bottom line is they get an opportunity to not only contribute to Giving Hope, but then they'll come and volunteer. So a lot of companies we do business with, Tommy, they'll come in and do what we call Giving Hope Day, where the whole staff of a company comes in and they serve as one unit. It kind of builds team building, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a really great opportunity for some companies that do business with Premier to come in and serve at Giving Hope.
So you had a great gala a couple of weeks ago. What was your favorite part of it?
Actually, it was truly listening to two people. Master P, who obviously opened people's eyes when he said he grew up with 13 people in a three-bedroom home. Mm-hmm. He knows the pain or the lack of. And he made it real, Tommy. He made it real from his own childhood. And I think that really moved the audience. And quite honestly, Helena did a great job talking about the city and talking about how we at this city need to understand that we have to serve others. So I thought Helena did a great job, and I thought Master P did a phenomenal job.
I thought you were going to say me singing Fly Me to the Moon, no?
Yeah, you did a good job of singing Fly Me to the Moon.
That, by the way, is a new tradition. I hate to tell you this, but it's a new tradition. If you get Beanie and the boys back, I will be doing another song with them next year. Hey, Troy, thank you so much for all you do. Give me a website where people can go to volunteer.
Yeah, Giving Hope NOLA, givinghopenola.org. And like I said, the greatest joy you may have is when you serve with your family, when you do it together as a family.
Amen. Thank you, sir, for everything you do. Happy Thanksgiving to you and all the Duhons.
You too.
Do you need toys for the toy drive? Can people help with that?
Yes, we do. So you can drop toys off at any Premier dealership. We'd love to have them. We're going to bless a lot of kids in December. So you want to drop some toys off to any Premier dealership or Premier Fitness on Airline, I deeply appreciate it.
You want a new unwrapped toy, correct?
Yes, sir.
New unwrapped toy in any Premier dealership. Thank you, sir. Troy Duhon. We'll take a break. Come back to talk to Dr. Judy Ho about the holidays and stress and more here on.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
On WWL. 9:25 now on this Tuesday morning before Thanksgiving. One of the things we're very thankful for is our relationship with Dr. Judy Ho, a licensed clinical neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast, author of several books, and she's nice enough to give us some of her time as we discuss mental health and care about mental health here every other Tuesday. Good morning, Dr. Judy. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm okay. Y'all ready for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, pretty ready. We're going to take it pretty easy this year. We're going to all go out to a restaurant so that nobody has to host. So that's going to be nice.
So first of all, since you brought that up, you know, I'm getting texts from people here wondering to ask if I could ask you for them. How do you decide whose house to go to? Specifically, this was from a couple. It's their first year married and they're trying to figure out whose house to go to, whose feelings not to hurt, et cetera.
Well, you know, we, my husband and I generally, we actually do a good amount of the hosting. As obviously for every family, it's different. For us, it's been that we've hosted more so than some of our other family members, but you know, we generally try to take turns a little bit and I try to cycle through. Sometimes people just volunteer. So everybody still helps though. You know, we kind of make it potluck style. So lots of people will bring food, side dishes, you know, we'll kind of coordinate that in advance, but sometimes you spend more time in the kitchen than actually getting to mingle, so that's why we're going to a restaurant this year.
So everybody can at least talk, but even then you got a problem with who sits where and can you hear what this is saying, et cetera, right? A little bit?
It's true.
But nothing's perfect.
Nothing's perfect. You try your best, you know?
So What are some of the things that people should be on their best behavior, or some of the hot spots that they should watch for? Some people are going to hear this and think it's common sense. Other people, maybe we can save some kind of meltdown at a Thanksgiving table. Some do's and don'ts from the clinical licensed neuropsychologist standpoint, and what it is that sets people off.
Well, I think that for many people, you know, you want to try to catch up and you want to have a great Thanksgiving, but there's obviously some minefields. And right now, I think politics is a big one. So maybe there should be a rule to not have certain topics discussed at Thanksgiving. Or if you hear the conversation starting, maybe try to shut it down sooner rather than later. If you're the host and say, hey, we're not going to talk about that this Thanksgiving, not to make a big deal about it, but basically just say, hey, let's table this conversation for later. If you know that there's people who generally don't get along, obviously don't make them sit next to each other, but also you can't force them to not interact. So that's another piece of it too. So there's only so much you can do. You have to protect your own peace and sanity as well.
And somebody was wondering about, as it relates to old grievances, et cetera, who to invite, who not to invite. At what point do you decide that it's your party and I don't care who gets along with who? You don't want to make everybody uncomfortable. You don't want to shun anybody. You don't want to shove anything in anybody's face. It can be kind of challenging, can't it?
It can definitely be challenging. But like you said, you know, if you're the host, it's your party and you get to decide who you want on your invite list. People are going to have opinions, but you can say, you know, I understand that this person is really important for you or you want me to invite them, but you know, I'm hosting this year, and I just think that it's a little better for us to keep it small, or, you know, we're just not going to invite them to this, but we can do something else with this person. I don't think that you need to over-explain yourself. I think that it's sometimes hard when you set boundaries with people you love, especially if you haven't been in the past. It's very confusing for them, because all of a sudden you have these rules, and you didn't used to have rules. But I think that it is necessary, and it's important, and boundaries are still loving. Sometimes people think that, oh, if I'm, you know, putting a boundary down, it means that I don't care or love my family, or they're going to think that way. But it's really just going to be a little rough until they get used to the fact that, oh, okay, you know, they have a point. And if this really mattered that much to me, then I can host.
When it comes to hierarchy and matriarchs and patriarchs and say mom or dad are no longer with us, and there could be a power struggle amongst the family, how would you go about advising people on how to deal with that if either older sister or older brother decides that they're going to be the new head of the family, if you understand what I'm trying to ask you?
Yeah. Are you talking about when maybe like the generation wants to take over the next generation?
Pretty much. Exactly. Yeah. Where it's like, well, who's cutting the turkey here? Who's saying the grace? Wait a minute. It used to be mom or dad, and now they're both gone. So I'm the older brother, or I'm the younger sister, or I'm the more successful this or that or the other thing.
Right. Yeah, I know. It can be really tough. And obviously, at some point, the younger generation does take over in some ways. They start to take care of their more aging parents, and there's going to be a different relationship and a vibe that's there. If there's sibling conflict, I would say, you know, try to make it as simple as possible for everybody. I mean, this really shouldn't be about, you know, I make more money, or, you know, I'm the natural leader of the family. It's like, you're all in the same generation. If everybody wants a piece of that pie and everybody wants a little bit of that responsibility, then rotate it. One person can sort of be the lead on Thanksgiving. Another person can be the lead on Christmas, if you celebrate Christmas, or New Year's, right? It can be rotated among the family. And I think that it should generally be that way. You know, it gets really, really exhausting for one member of the family to always take the responsibility, even if they are the older one, even if they're not the more responsible one. It still gets exhausting for them, and that can lead to resentment too. So I would say, you know, if you want to keep it simple, just rotate holidays in terms of who's in charge.
And the phone lines are open here at 504-260-187. You should have said that earlier, but people know because they're texting in questions already. But if you have any questions about Thanksgiving or getting along with with your family, Dr. Judy Ho is here, clinical and forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast, to help answer any of those questions. Somebody texted and said, yep, my sister dominates everything. Somebody else texted in and wants to know, at what age is it appropriate to say, no, we're going to do our own thing without hurting your parents' feelings? Or is there any such thing as general advice for that?
Yeah, maybe not so much general, but I think in general, of course, if you love the person, don't want to hurt their feelings, you want to be gentle, but you also have to be firm sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so it really depends on how much that particular matter or situation matters to you. If you want to speak up then, if you want to be honest then, you've got to choose your battles too. I feel like that's an important part of this too.
Somebody texted in and said, my mom's going to be alone, but I live out of town and I can't get home to be with her. I know she's living a lonely existence. I don't know what to do. Thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, no replacement, of course, for being there in person. That would be the best. But if that is not possible, then I would say that it would be helpful to just try to have some kind of quality time with her, even if it's virtual, even if it's by phone, by a Zoom or video call. Just make sure that there's something that you can do together. And something that I think is actually really helpful. Oh, my goodness. Well, I guess Luca's up.
Hey, Luca.
Tommy says hi.
What is he, 15, 16?
Yeah, right, exactly. No, he just turned four.
Goes by quickly.
But yeah, you know, I think that for a lot of people, they have to just start to get more creative with the time that you can spend either on a video call or phone call. I think one way that you can actually pass the time together and still do something and then be interactive is watch a movie at the same time from your respective houses, but be on a video call or a phone call. Then you guys can talk about the movie, discuss the movie as it's going on. You know, and that'll be like 2 hours of quality time that you get to spend together, but it's not like you just have to keep talking to each other, right? There's also conversation starter games and cards that you can play virtually. Those are some other ideas. But, you know, do what you can to make sure that she still has a lovely and meaningful holiday.
Somebody texted in and said they found out their grown child was in town, but the child didn't reach out. Should they take that as an insult?
Yeah, that's so hurtful, right? It's not the first person that said that. It won't be the last. Sometimes they have their own reasons for just not wanting to see their parents or other family members during a holiday. I mean, that does suck that they didn't reach out. I think that to make sure the relationship still continues as smoothly as possible, you got to kind of have a conversation with them about it. Not really confront them, but just say, you know, it just kind of hurt my feelings that you didn't even tell me you were in town. I understand that sometimes maybe you're just too busy, you don't have time for whatever the reason is, but nevertheless, I didn't feel great about it, you know?
Kind of like a mob movie. If you're going to be on my turf, you need to let me know, right?
Right? Exactly. So,
no,
you know,
seriously.
Just be direct with them. Be direct.
It should be addressed, you think?
I do think it should be addressed. Otherwise, it's just going to build resentment over time. Obviously, it hurt the person's feelings. You should address it. And you don't have to get super emotional about it if that's not really your style of communication with your children. But you kind of should just say, like, it hurt my feelings. Or like, yeah, I didn't feel so great about that. You know, it doesn't have to be this long, drawn-out conversation. But do talk to them about it and be direct and see what they say.
How do you figure out somebody texted in if you're estranged from somebody or not? Apparently, they've not communicated a lot throughout the year. Don't know whether to invite the person for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you are interested in having the person at Thanksgiving, if you're interested in reconnecting, the only way to find out is to invite them. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to, again, have a long conversation about, hey, I know we haven't talked in a while, or, you know, hey, I think things have been a bit strained between us. But just say, hey, it would be so cool if you could drop by Thanksgiving. Are you around? And even if they're not available, maybe that'll be the start of that reconnection.
Somebody else texted and said, is it ever appropriate to say, did I do something to get you angry?
Yeah, I think that is appropriate. I think it's appropriate if you think that there might have been something, some miscommunication, something that happened that has made the person, you know, become colder towards you, become upset with you. And the only way to find out is to talk directly. I know that that's not always comfortable. A lot of people don't like confrontation. They don't want to think about any impending conflict that could come from such a conversation. But it is just important to get it all out there. That's really, really helpful, because then you kind of know what you're working with and you can decide from there what you want to do. Do you want to repair this relationship? Do you want to talk to them about, well, actually, you've upset me too. And like, let's have it out, because maybe you're upset with me, but I'm also upset with you. But the only way that the relationship can heal, or at least have closure if you're not going to continue the relationship, is to talk about it.
What would you tell people that get depressed during the holidays? Because I'm getting some texts from people that are saying they find this to be a terrible time of year for them.
Yeah, it's hard. Holidays can be really tough for people because there's a lot of expectation that it's a time of family togetherness and spreading joy and love. And you can see how that can create cognitive dissonance if someone struggles maybe with depression or anxiety or just isn't having such a good time right now. And yet everywhere they turn, it's like pictures of, you know, happy families together on TV.
Yeah, you can't escape it. That's what I was thinking. It's like every commercial, right. No matter what you put on, whether it's a football game or a movie, this, that, the other thing, there's some of that in it, right?
The Hallmark movies, kind of like what it's supposed to look like. Well, no, it's not supposed to look like anything, but I know that that's easy to say. And then you look at the media and all the messaging you have, and it's like hard to run away from it, like you just said, Tommy. So I would say, you know, this is a good time to maybe cut yourself some slack. Be gentle with yourself. It's okay that you're having these feelings. It's okay that maybe you're struggling more. You're not alone. There's a lot of people who struggle more when the holidays, even when people who are with their families, they can struggle more with their holidays, as, you know, as we've been talking about, Tommy, and as we all probably have experienced at some point in our lives. So this is maybe a good time to start making some new traditions around the holidays that are things that you really want to do. So thinking about maybe developing a new hobby or, you know, doing a couple of things on your own, but still finding some joy in that instead of having to have this pressure that it has to involve your family, connecting with people, doing things in a certain or specific way. This is a good time to think about maybe starting some new traditions for yourself that are probably going to be somewhat countercultural, but are things that you know will bring you a little bit of joy and relaxation.
Somebody else texts in and says, is it better to try to ignore it completely, or is it better to just recognize it, but yet, as you just said, do your own thing? Because you're not going to ignore it, right?
No, you're not going to ignore it. And that's the thing. You know, I think that you can't really completely put it out of your mind. So I think it's really just about adjusting your priorities, adjusting your expectations. And again, being gentle with yourself when you do have these negative thoughts creeping in, or you're just struggling with your mood for more than usual. Just being kind to yourself, because sometimes that extra layer of self-judgment can make it so much worse.
All right, let me take a break. Somebody is texting in about seasonal affective disorder. I don't know what that is. I'll ask you about that. Somebody else wants to know about dealing with the in-laws. Says, my partner's family drives me up the wall. What does Dr. Judy recommend? Well, we'll see when we come back. 504-260-1870. You know, Dr. Judy, you talk about TV and what they show on TV is not realistic. Have you seen the commercials where the old ladies are elderly ladies? I got to watch my mouth here, however you say it. The ladies that are of an advanced stage, perhaps, are watching the kids sled down the thing. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
And then one of them goes and buys cushions for all of them, and then they go sledding down, and they're all having fun. What they don't show you is somebody's going to break a hip. They don't show you that part,
right.
But, you know, it's nice while the music's playing. 9:40, 20 till 10 more. We come back. Traffic now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Now, WWL. And we're back, 9:47, 13 till 10. Couple of minutes left with Dr. Judy Ho, clinical forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast. Somebody wants to know about seasonal affective disorder. Is that legit? Dr. Judy, you got me muted, maybe?
I did have you muted. Sorry about that.
That's all
right. So seasonal affective disorder is actually quite common. I think that people sometimes don't recognize it as such, or they're not diagnosing themselves with it. Of course, they shouldn't. They should be diagnosed by a professional. But I think it gets missed because a lot of people say, yeah, I just don't feel as good when the sun's not out. That seems kind of normal. But mm-hmm. if it gets to a point where it becomes clinical depression, then that's definitely helpful to try to get some support. But there are some things that you can do, too, at home, like getting a light box and making sure that you get some light exposure if you live in a place where, you know, things get dark a bit quickly or it's not very good weather. And just making sure that you reset your own circadian rhythm through a few different exercises you can do at home in the morning. That can really help out, as well as making sure you still get outside and do activities and don't start isolating, which is one of the key signs when someone suffers from SAD.
Question comes in, parents in early stages of dementia in a nursing home, and there's an argument going on as to whether to take the parent out and bring them to the family gathering at home. Ouch.
Yeah, oh, that's such a tough one. I mean, I think that maybe everybody in the family probably thinks that they know what's best, but if it's possible, maybe asking the parents what they want, if they're able to still communicate somewhat clearly, maybe do what they would like. If that's possible, I think that might be the best way, so nobody's ego gets in the way about, well, they went with this decision versus that one.
Who decides who sits at the kids' table?
Generally the host, and sometimes the kids themselves, right? Sometimes the kids want to sit at the kids' table, and then maybe the older teenagers are like, ah, I don't want to sit at the kiddie table. So if there's some flexibility for the kids or the teens for them to decide, that's great. Otherwise, I think if the host decides it, that's where you should sit.
What would your advice be for a family to get together and just have as good of a time as they possibly can? And I guess some words of advice, Dr. Judy?
Yeah, I would say keep the event structured. Make sure everybody has the expectations. You know, most of the time people don't want to be hosting for hours and hours. So it's okay to put on the invitation or to put on the text messages. You know, today, you know, this year's Thanksgiving is from 2 to 5 p.m. so that everybody knows that at 5 you're going to be shutting things down. Having some ground rules. It's better if the ground rules are communicated in advance, especially to people who you know might instigate certain things, like talk about certain topics you don't want people to talk about because that leads to fights. So having those discussions ahead of time can help, especially with individuals one-on-one, so there isn't a chance to react as a group. But the day of, if people somehow break a rule of yours, whether it's talking about a topic or having a phone at the dinner table when you said that that's not going to be how we're going to do Thanksgiving this year, feel free to call them out on it. And then there's no reason to shame them for it, but just say, hey, remember, we're not going to have phones at the table. Just move on past that. I think that it's really important to instill the types of structure that you need as a host to make sure that the event goes well. And finally, just be mindful. You know, don't be thinking about all those past pains and hurts, if at all possible. Just enjoy the moment for now, because that's all we have.
Somebody texted in, snuck this one in under the wire about pets. Because, you know, sometimes love me, love my dog. If you don't, man, sometimes people get upset, more upset if you insult their dog than you do their kids.
Yeah, that's true. And obviously, pets are family. So I think, again, that's very important, just to set a boundary about what you can and cannot do or say. If a pet is going to be involved in the gathering, as the owner, you probably want to scope out, you know, everything to make sure that it's going to be a safe and good environment for your dog in the first place. Because if they also have pets or other people are bringing their pets, that could also sometimes create a problematic scenario. So just make sure that things are set up as far in advance as possible, so that you can avoid day of stress and conflicts that come up.
And did we get to, if your partner's family's driving you up the wall, what would you recommend?
Well, you know, it's okay sometimes to have to step out and say you need to take a break. You know, just because you're at a family gathering doesn't mean you can't step out for a moment, tell people you need to run a quick errand, say you have to take a quick phone call and just go outside. You know, take some time for yourself if that's the case. You don't have to be present every single moment. That is okay. And you'll probably be better for it when you come back from that break.
Maybe teach yourself how to smoke, something like that?
No, yeah, or at least pretend, I guess.
I'm just kidding. No, I'm just playing. Thank you, Dr. Judy. I appreciate your time as always. I hope you and your family have a great Thanksgiving.
You too, Tommy. Great to talk to you. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
We appreciate you. Thank you. We'll take a break, come back, find out what Newell's got today. He's got a big day planned. We'll find out about it when we return on WWL. All right, 9:58 and a half, Newell Norman's coming up. I know you got a big show today because I've seen you outside for an hour and a half now poring over documents.
Well, Tommy, we have Mayor-elect Helena Moreno and Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Councilman, and we're going to spend an hour on their proposed budget that is due December 1st under the city charter, and we'll talk about that. They sent me over an eight-page breakdown of their proposals and had an opportunity to go through it. It'll be great conversation. We'll visit with Tom Moran from the Good Shepherd School. He's the president there, good friend. We'll talk about the latest with the Good Shepherd School. Chef Meg Bickford joins us from Commander's Palace, the executive chef, about the Ella Brennan tasting menu that she developed. And tomorrow's going to be the last day, so we'll talk about it tonight and tomorrow.
Have you had that yet?
Not yet, but it's going to be on my list.
As I understand it, it includes a shot.
It includes a lot.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful thing. Dr. Ken Ertland joins us, superintendent of St. Charles Parish Public Schools. They earned an A as a school district. So we're going to see what the secret sauce is all about.
Very good. And we'll be listening at noon when Helena Moreno, mayor-elect, and Joe Geruso breaks down the budget with Newell here on WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.